Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this evening is the gospel lesson, especially verse 26. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So as we started out before the service, what was Jesus doing there? Now, verses 3 and 4, he left Judea, departed again for Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. Let's drag in related questions. Why was Jonah on the boat? Why were Paul and Silas in jail in Philippi? Why was Philip on the road heading south from Jerusalem to Gaza? Answer in each of those, because there was one soul or more, one soul needing to hear the message of salvation, okay? That's why Jesus was in the town of Sychar. Why he had gotten to that town about midday, why he was weary from his journey and sitting by the well, why the disciples had gone away, why the woman had come out there that time of day, because in the plan of God, a plan set in motion from all eternity, this encounter needed to happen. Because there was one soul needing to hear the message of salvation. In all of that, you kind of have to sympathize with the woman, don't you? Heads out of town to get water for the day and minding her own business, comes to the well and there's somebody to talk with her who knows everything she ever did. Could be unnerving. Conversation with somebody who knew what she was going to say, even before there is a word on my tongue, that's Psalm 139. Who knew every one of her faults and sins and doubts and bad decisions, who knew her living arrangements, and no, he did not approve. Who, if you had asked him how long he knew you, he could answer very simply, forever. And you didn't exist forever, so he knew you before you were. Who was there to confront you about the direction of your life and completely change the path you were on. You got to sympathize with her running into this conversation, and this is a conversation you are not getting out of, because when Jesus decides to do the confronting, he looks deep within the soul and there's nothing you can hide from him, and you got to sympathize with the woman. Because guess what? That's where we're all at. That's where we have all been. And that's what has happened with our lives. And we have come face to face with Jesus, who knows us inside out, who knew us before the first dust of the world was created, who knows every fault, sin, doubt, bad decision, every foible, everything we're going to try and answer all along in the conversation. And it's an amazing thing to read through these verses and watch how she tries to get out of the conversation. And he keeps bringing it into sharper and sharper focus. Sir, give me this water, and then I won't have to come to the well. I have no husband. And when he confronts her, I see that you're a prophet. Let me change the subject real quickly. Is it Jerusalem or is it here we are to worship? Here or on this mountain? And when he zeroes in and says what worship is really all about, and now she knows that there's no way to answer him, final excuse. I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll tell us all the things we need to know. But she is not getting out of that conversation, is she? Jesus walks her through repentance to faith. He will not let her out of it because he's talking about living water. The word of God spoken by Jesus himself that brings us to faith. He's talking about salvation. And as she tries to get out of it again, he talks about the word of life. He talks about himself. He talks about her sin. Straight out, no compromise. She needed to hear the word of God preparing her heart for the gospel. She needed to know herself. And he talks with her about himself. He is the Christ. He is the one bringing salvation. He is the one bringing living water and the Word of God and the Word of life, and he's bringing eternity into her life. And she thought she was just going out to the well that day, and God was waiting for her. He finds us. Not just her, he finds us. Peter and James and John takes them up on a mountain and shows them who he is. Nathanael, you'll see greater things than this. You're going to see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending. Even Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And so he comes, contending for each soul, inviting each one of us into eternal life. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he continues to call in the same ways. When he comes face to face with us, what does he do? He names our sin, and that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to have somebody name your sin who actually knows that sin. And raises the question, who would you trust to know your sin? Who would you trust to name your sin? Who in this world? But he is the Son of Man. He is the one who, though he was God in all eternity, from all eternity to all eternity, he chose to be one of us, to be Son of Man. Chose to come into this world. I've said it before, say it again. The Gospel of John has this theme running all the way through it, where Jesus sits down eyeball to eyeball with somebody. And in that encounter, he looks straight into their soul and tells them what they need to know in the gospel of salvation. I see that you're a prophet. Is a prophet not because somebody else has revealed to him something that he would not know in and of himself. He is a prophet because he sees everything. And she comes away, part one, comes away going to the townsfolk and saying, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Which of course, isn't exactly accurate because there was not enough time to recite through her entire life, but she knows that she has been seen. Down deep in the soul, she knows that she's standing in front of someone who knows every decision, every question, every doubt, every turning away from God that she has ever done. Who would you trust to talk about your sin? Every turning away that she has ever done, and yet, from all eternity, he planned this encounter. She knows that she is known by God, and she knows that she is being called by God, called to be in a relationship with God, and this is something eternal. Who would you trust to talk about your sin? And the reason why Jesus is the one that you would trust, that you do trust, is because of what he has decided to do with that sin. Because you see, she finds, as Peter and James and John found, as Nathaniel found, as we have found, what he has decided to do with that sin, he's decided to carry it. And carry that sin and to carry us through judgment and death and into life. Because he is heading to the cross and then to the empty tomb. And when you are seen by that Son of Man, this eternal second person of the Trinity, and when you are called by this Son of Man, changes everything that you ever knew about religion, about God, about eternity, about sin and judgment and life and holiness and forgiveness. And it changes everything you know about yourself. It's So what happens next? She brings the whole town out to see Jesus. And they ask him to stay. And after two more days, they say, no longer, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe. We've heard for ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And each one is dealt with personally by Jesus as he confronts us and as he calls us to hear words of life and to know what God is truly like. Each one of us, he deals with us in the same way because he is always the same. He's the Savior who comes to contend always for one soul. In Jesus' name, amen.